Today, unemployment up in June, but how broken is the ABS data compass? Hi again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. Well, there is a lot of kerfuffle about the latest employment statistics released today by the ABS. Australian unemployment unexpectedly climbed to a four-year high in June because hiring almost stalled. So this might suggest a loosening in the labour market and might bolster the case for the Reserve Bank to reduce interest rates next month. Certainly, the employment outcome was worse than expected by market economists. But before I get into the reported increase in the unemployment rate, which caused many economists to reaffirm that the RBA should have cut the cash rate last week, I want to highlight this important release, which to me bells the cat on the issues the ABS continues to have with its data collection, because they announced that the survey of income and housing results will not be released for 2025. They said the Australian Bureau of Statistics will not release statistics from the 23 to 24 survey of income and housing, the SIH, due to data collection issues. Despite work to address those issues, the data did not meet the ABS's high standards for official statistics and will not be released. This decision means that the following product will not be released in 2025: the Income and Wealth Australia and Housing Occupancy and Costs Australia. The Deputy Australian Statistician, Dr. Philip Gould, said, "As the ABS modernises, we're developing new ways to collect information and improve response rates, and to make it easier for people to complete their surveys. This is partly because collecting data from households has become more difficult and costly in recent years. This is being experienced by statistical offices around the world. While we were compiling the statistics for the SIH 2324, we found serious shortcomings in the questionnaire design and data collection processes that we could not overcome despite our best efforts. Producing reliable statistics is our top priority, and we will only release data we can stand by." The most recent SIH was in the field in the 2023-24 financial year. It collected detailed data on income, housing costs like mortgages and rents, assets and liabilities such as property, motor vehicles, investments and credit cards from 30,000 households across Australia. "We acknowledge that this decision will impact those who rely on SIH statistics, and we're working closely with key users to understand how we can best support their data needs," Dr. Gould said. "We also recognise the households that gave their information for the 23-24 SIH. We've learned crucial lessons from this experience and have incorporated those lessons into our data collection for the 25-26 SIH, which is in the field now. Changes have been made to the questionnaire, collection and sample design. Extra user testing and quality checks have also been added to make sure that the 25-26 SIH does not face similar issues to the 23-24 SIH. Results from the SIH 25-26 are expected to be published from the middle of 2027. With questions about the accuracy of the surveys ringing in our ears, now let's look at the latest employment statistics. The ABS said the seasonally adjusted unemployment rate rose to 4.3% in June. That's a rise of 0.2 percentage points from last month, driven by a 34,000 increase in the number of unemployed people. Employment rose by 2,000 people in the month, following a fall of 1,000 in May, and is up 2% compared to June 2024. Part-time employment grew by 40,000 people, offset by a 38,000 person fall in full-time employment. The employment-to-population ratio remained at 64.2%, and the participation rate rose to 67.1%. Hours worked fell 0.9% in June, following a rise of 1.4% in May. This month, we saw a decrease in full-time hours worked, down 1.3%. That's associated with a 0.4% fall in full-time employees. The underemployment rate rose by 0.1 percentage points to 6% in June. That was 0.4 percentage points lower than June 2024 and 2.7 percentage points lower than March 2020. The underutilization rate, which combines the unemployment and underemployment rate, rose by 0.3 percentage points to 10.3%. This was 0.1 percentage points lower than June 2024 and 3.6 percentage points lower than March 2020. Across the states, Victoria had the highest unemployment rate at 4.6%, followed by New South Wales and South Australia at 4.4%. At the other end of the spectrum, Tasmania came out at 3.8% and the ACT was the lowest at 3.6%. The trend unemployment rate rose to 4.2% after remaining at 4.1% over the previous 3 months, they said. The data, of course, is crucial for RBA policymakers as the resilience of the labour market and worries about it rekindling price pressures have been key reasons why they've shown patience in the current easing cycle. The central bank cut rate twice since the start of the year, shocking the market last week with a decision to hold at 3.85%, and today's weak jobs report followed a subdued reading in May, which could suggest a turn in fortune. The jobless rate hasn't been this high since November 2021, when the economy was recovering from the pandemic. Australian Treasurer Jim Chalmers, in a statement after the jobs data, pointed to the inevitable consequence of economic uncertainty and volatility around the world and the ongoing impact of higher interest rates. The trade uncertainty is weighing on business investment and prompting firms to rethink hiring plans, economists said. Even though Australia got off lightly with the 10% baseline tariff rate, as an export-reliant economy, its fortunes are heavily geared to those of its trading partners. Chalmers, who's attending a Group of 20 meeting in South Africa, added that ongoing labour market resilience is one of Australia's best defences against volatile global conditions. We're well placed and well prepared to face the challenges ahead, he said. John Kehoe had an opinion piece titled, "The Jobless Rate is Up." Over to you, Governor Bullock. The surprise rise in the unemployment rate to 4.3% will naturally put scrutiny on the Reserve Bank of Australia's shock decision not to cut interest rates this month. With the benefit of hindsight, the RBA Monetary Policy Board probably should have cut rates immediately had it known hiring was slowing down and the jobless rate had risen from the 4.1% recorded in May. But we need to ask about the accuracy of the data. Monthly employment figures can bounce around quite significantly, so the RBA Governor Michelle Bullock will not be panicking. The bank will also consider what is a real signal and what is potentially noise in the statistics. The sample group of people rotating into the ABS labour force survey had a higher unemployment rate than the sample group who were rotated out in June. Looking at the data, we can see the unemployment rate for the outgoing group in May was 3.3%, but that was replaced by the June incoming group at 4.6%, a significant change. Also, the latest population growth data, which contained very high net migration, could also suggest the volume divisor is off significantly. This is a recurring problem with the ABS series. Actually, forward indicators such as business hiring intentions and job vacancy rates suggest the labour market is likely to remain roughly flat with few signs of major job layoffs by employers. And it's worth remembering that the 4.3% unemployment rate is still very low by historical standards. It's below the 4.5% jobless rate that the RBA estimates is the non-inflationary rate of full employment. By the way, Treasury thinks the sustainable full employment jobless rate is a bit lower at about 4.25%, suggesting the government still thinks interest rates can be cut faster without fueling a wage price breakout. So while the unemployment data has lifted the probability of a rate cut on the 12th of August, by the way, the market is close to 94% certain at the moment, the June quarter consumer price index on the 30th of July will be key too. If it shows underlying inflation is not materially higher than, say, 2.7% or less, the nine-member RBA board will probably cut the 3.85% cash rate by 0.25 percentage points to 3.6%. But my point remains that the data compass from the ABS continues to be broken, as highlighted in their SIH release today. More broadly, employment growth over the year to June of 2% was also very close to the Reserve Bank's forecast of 2.1%, and conditions in the labour market do remain tight, which will concern the Reserve Bank. The RBA is worried that high unit labour costs and subdued productivity growth could stoke inflation again. It's worth remembering that around 80% of the jobs added over the past 2 years has been in the non-market sector, which is heavily influenced by government spending and regulation. These include healthcare, aged care, disability support, education, and bureaucracy more broadly. The hiring blitz in those industries helped keep the labour market tight, but it's also contributed to weak labour productivity growth, according to the Productivity Commission and the RBA. Productivity, which is how efficiently labour produces goods and services, is actually the key determinant of living standards. It's contributed more than 80% of income growth for the 3 decades before the pandemic, the Productivity Commission estimates. The surge in government-related jobs has coincided with labour productivity falling back to 2016 levels, making it harder for the economy to afford large pay increases. Since 2019, labour productivity in the market sector, excluding volatile mining, has expanded at a healthy pace of 1.4% a year, but the government-aligned non-market sector measured labour productivity has shrunk 0.6% a year. Though the truth is, rate cuts from here won't necessarily address productivity issues without a pivot from government policy, and despite the upcoming talk fest on that, well, will anything change? Well, probably not. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.